Good morning. The scripture we'll be reading from this morning will be from Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. And once again, that is Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, and I'll be reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. Beginning in verse 15, "And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death part thee and me."
Now, with us this morning, Brother Brian Braswell. Brian's been at the North Main Congregation in Malvern, Arkansas for about the last 4 years. And as Brian mentioned in our Bible class hour, he's got some connections here at 9th and Main. And we're so happy to have him here with us this morning to be preaching to us on one of our Digging Deeper Sundays. So thankful that he's here. I'm not going to take any more of his time. Brian, come speak to us.
I appreciate again the call I received from Brother Josh, and he asking me to fill this time. And, of course, it's always good to be back here at San Angelo. Started coming to San Angelo many years ago when my uncle and his family moved here, Brother Dennis Reed and his family, Ginger, the kids, and then my grandparents. They left Austin, Texas, and they moved over here, and now we have double reasons to come to San Angelo, but this would be a third reason because of the church here. We appreciate, again, the stance that you continually take here. We know you have good preaching here. We have confidence in that, and it's always a pleasure whenever I'm able to come and be back here in the west part of this state. Some of you may remember I lived not too far from here for a short time and spent 7 years north of Fort Worth. And then before then, I spent about 2 years around the Austin area. So we have roots in Texas. All three of our children are Texans by birth, but they are misplanted in Arkansas right now, and that's too bad for them. So, but anyway, it's good to be back. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving week. We have, and I'm glad that it's over so that we can start to get back in shape. And I'm tired of eating, and yet we're going to eat again today. And so I would invite everyone over to my grandmother's house, but there's not that much room just so that you could eat all that roast. But I want to talk to you about a picture of beauty in the midst of ugliness. The world we live in is difficult. It's not so well defined. Our laws, the reasons why we stand behind certain laws are being called into question daily. The moral fiber of our society is confused. I want you to understand that this is not a new problem. This is somewhat of a common and yet repetitive and sad problem. I want you to know that it's probably not going to get better before it gets worse. It's sad when politicians about 10 years ago were running on such statements of principle, or they didn't want to call it morals, but they wanted to call it values, because it was well known by society, generally speaking, that our values were just diminishing. It was, again, sad to see then politicians not give credit to whom credit is due. We cannot, again, for one moment deny our history as Americans in this country. That in former times, the moral fiber of our society was well defined. that there wasn't much argument on morals, definitions surrounding marriage and the cores of society. And yet again today, everything's being called into question. You may remember then in the Bible, a picture of ugliness, 350 some years during the period of the judges or saviors. A dark period of time when, as the Bible says in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If I had time, we could go back and talk about how God would work through such people like Samson in the book of Judges. And Samson's not one of those characters that you really need to prop up before your children and say, here, son, mimic his behavior. For Samson had a fatal attraction, you remember, with the Philistine women. But yet, in that picture of ugliness, we're learning something about God, how He is a God who cannot lie and His promise is sure. And He would, through Samson, judge the Philistines, but Samson would lose his life. We don't read much about particular judges after Samson in the sense of the entire nation being judged categorically. The story seems to again hone down through personal episodes where God begins to work with and through people, individuals, pockets, if you will, that are smaller in Israel to again make good on His promise to bring beauty out of ugliness. I believe that's where the story of Ruth then falls into our lesson today, where it comes into play. If indeed the Bible teaches, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, it is right here where we can learn a little bit about that hope. If you remember in the book of Ruth, in chapter 1, a family of Judah, of the tribe of Judah, Naomi was the wife, Elkanah was the husband, and they had two sons. They depart their own land, Judah, and go into Moab because of a famine. And the text tells us in chapter 1 they stay there some 10 years because they're, again, they were looking for food. I've studied this before and I've made the point that they were following after food, not God. The departure, again, could not have been authorized by God because you have to remember God put His people in the land of Israel. And He said to them back in the book of Leviticus chapter 26 that if they were faithful, He would be faithful to them. They were not so faithful to Him, and thus the blessings that come from Him, no doubt, were restrained. I want you to understand then, when you get to this good and beautiful story, we're going to learn about the land of Moab, how they have their own gods. As was just read then, we remember Naomi after the death of her two sons and the death of her husband in a foreign land where there are foreign gods. She will say at the end of this chapter, upon her return, she is bitter. She says, no longer call me Naomi, but call me Mara. Well, again, considering that very principle, who wouldn't be bitter, having struggled and suffered so much, departing from the living God, the only true and living God of Israel, and going to a land for food because there was a famine in the land? Do you realize that the land of Judah is not far from the land of Moab? You study a little bit about geography, it's interesting that the journey into Moab, however they went around the Dead Sea, they really were border states. They bordered each other. So it's very unlikely that they traveled more or much more, at the most 100 miles. They were not that far from their home, but yet they left for food. Again, in the chapter that we're looking at in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, we'll also learn that because Naomi, after the death of her children, the death of her husband, she hears that now there is bread back in Judah, Israel, and she will return to her own people, to her own land, to where she was from. But again, remember, she says, no longer call me Naomi, call me bitter, Mara. She was bitter. But in this story, two characters come out. In fact, there are three things that you need to note right now and consider. If it were not for the law of God, the law of redemption, there would be no pattern to follow, but yet there was. And I believe this is where Naomi's faith began to kick back in. But through Ruth, I want you to note there in Ruth chapter 1, again, the passages we just noted, and again, hone in here on some statements, that Ruth, when she was again told by her mother-in-law, now you just stay back in Moab with your own gods. And Ruth here says, no, I do not want to do that. She said, I don't want to go back to our gods, verse 15, as Orpah did. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and watch it, thy God, my God. I don't know about you, but in regard to Christianity, this is the first step in trying to find the new convert. If they are willing to give up the world of idolatry and serve the only true and living God, my God. The heart of Ruth here then begins to stand out. And it's through Ruth that God, we know, will work through. Will bless us to this day. We'll establish that. I want you to also note in chapter 2 with regard to Ruth. The character of Ruth is outstanding in regard that she was willing to work. In verse 7 of chapter 2, here you have one that is pliable. She's a worker. She comes into now a foreign land, and she's not aware of who Boaz is, this man Boaz. But he has a field, he has land, and she goes and she works and she gleans in his fields. In verse 7, she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here first by my maidens. A picture of beauty in the midst of ugliness. Remember, Naomi's bitter. She's had a hard time. You'd be bitter too, probably. Through Ruth, a Moabitess woman who decided to give up her gods, the land of Moab, and stay close to a mother-in-law. What an outstanding character and story. It's in chapter 3 that we learn about the kindness of Boaz. Who Boaz, again, a kind and gentle man, was willing to allow her to work and yet then will allow her to become his wife. You see, God can work through the individual like he can the nation. It's a sad story in the sense that the nation of Israel would fail to recognize this and fail to recognize the necessity of faith. Just as we mentioned this morning in Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptizer was preaching to those Pharisees, who were the elite, and he would say to them, begin not to say within yourselves, you have Abraham, for God is able of these stones to raise up seed. You see, it's through then again the virtuous character of one like Ruth in verse 11 when Boaz recognizes that she was a virtuous woman. You recognize then here how God, in the midst of such ugliness, will make good on His promises. I don't know about you, but when you consider again the life that you've lived, the choices that you've made, how many people, having suffered so much, would just turn their back on God and give up and stay bitter? Through again Ruth's tender plea upon taking Naomi's advice in chapter 3. Naomi's instruction to rest at the foot of Boaz's bed. Boaz recognizing her. In verses 8 and following of chapter 3, Boaz saying, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. I want you to note that statement, there, near kinsman, because this picture is a picture of redemption. Watch the character of Boaz, the concern, the careful concern over the law of Moses here. Again, taking again the advice of Naomi, Ruth again understands the law of God now. If you know a little bit about Deuteronomy 25 and Leviticus 25, Numbers 27, about the land that was again set up with boundaries and markers and they were not to be removed. But in the event that the removal of boundaries was to take place, then in the year of Jubilee, everything would go back to as it was. And it was a year of redemption because God set that land up a certain way for a certain people. Remember, Naomi and her husband left, and now they're back. And through now the kindness of one named Boaz, a near kinsman, the application of the law of Moses, the careful application of the law of Moses, the pattern, the rule of God of the day is now in consideration. Do we realize that there has never been a time when God's people have never, ever been without law? We often say that those under the Old Testament, or we hear people say that the law would not save them. No, that's right. The law could not save them. The promise of Christ could. But the careful application by faith of the law would save them. Understanding the law. Understanding the purpose of the law. And so I want you to notice here in Ruth chapter 3 again, this careful concern and application. He asks again, "Who art thou?" And she says again, "Take thy handmaid or your maid servant. Consider me again a near kinsman." And he says, "Blessed art thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Look at the character of Ruth standing out, and Boaz recognizing the character. He says, "And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman, a Moabitish woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman." That is true through Naomi. Here is again a law of redemption. God can make this thing right. He can set this right. He can take all the past of the departure, going and following food into a foreign land where there are foreign gods, and He can make this right if we will carefully apply His will to our lives. He can and will redeem us. Watch what He says here. "It is true. But he says in verse 12, there is a kinsman nearer than I." You're looking at a man that was not selfish. "Tarry this night," he says, "at it, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." Now look at verse 14. "And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." I've considered that again, the character, the virtues. What could have possibly happened if one misunderstood the context, what was being said? This would not have been such a virtuous situation, or understood or misunderstood situation. Again, note the careful concern and situation here over setting the record right. It's in verse 14 that she lay at his feet until the morning, and she will leave when no one notices. In chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, Boaz will go up to the gate, a location where men would meet, business was handled. This seems to be the law of the day here at the gate where men would meet and convene and make sure things were being settled. You have the then context with Boaz and the nearer kinsman. But look at what he says in verse 2. "He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi," look at the witnesses, "Naomi that is come again out of the country of Moab selleth the parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabite's wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. The kinsman said in verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. We don't understand all of what was going on there, why he didn't do it, the nearer kinsman, but he didn't do it. What we do know is that Boaz was more than willing to redeem it back. Again, if you fail to recognize the careful consideration and the compliance with the law of God, you fail to miss the whole story here, because God had set this up. He had set this up so that they would not transgress and they would not sin against him. Galatians 3:19. He had set this up to keep them in the straight and narrow, to bring us to Christ. Galatians 3:24, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. The book of Ruth is a picture of beauty in the midst of ugliness that shows us how God can make things right. You remember the story then, how indeed Boaz will redeem her. He will marry Ruth and they will have a child. A child that then will become the future grandfather of David, King David. Ruth becomes one in the book of Matthew who finds her name in the picture of beauty, the picture of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. How many times did the Jews misunderstand that, or even hear Matthew the Levi, the apostle, preach this lesson and lay it out before them that this woman is in the genealogy of their Messiah, and they mock and scoff at that because they could not see the picture of beauty. They would not see God raising up beauty in the midst of ugliness, working through kind and virtuous people during such an ugly time. I want you to remember then how Naomi overcomes bitterness. Look at verse 15 of Ruth 4. The Bible says, relative to Ruth, a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. I just have a few points of application. I don't know if this will encourage you. I don't know where you are in your life, but this lesson for some reason seemed to encourage me as I revisited the study. Thinking about the period of the judges again and how ugly a time it was. Thinking about our own world, dealing with people who have made such a mess of their lives. Looking at Naomi, it just seemed to stand out. Here's a woman who again was bitter. How many people do you know that are bitter? Maybe yourself. Let me show you a passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to consider again how you can fix the problem of bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 14, verse 15. Bitterness is a real problem. I believe we can trace again why Naomi was bitter. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see that idea of peace and holiness, following the Lord? That's where peace and holiness only can and will be established. But look at the next passage. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The root of bitterness that springs up and troubles many, and thereby many be defiled. They fail the grace of God. How many people have walked away. And the book of Hebrews is about departing from God. You can fall from grace. How many people like Naomi, well-intentioned people, perhaps ladies following husbands who made terrible decisions, became bitter or are bitter in their life? And if you trace back the bitterness, you'll find out that it comes from the heart of disobedience and departing from God. How do you overcome that? Well, the Hebrews writer tells us you have to follow peace and holiness. You see, God can and will fix families. You know the story of the prodigal son very well. The prodigal son departed from his father. But when he came to himself and he returned, God was more than happy to restore him, to redeem him. How many people, if they would just return, accept responsibility, follow carefully the law of God, could be redeemed and overcome that bitterness in their life? It's amazing to me. I sat before a man the other day who has literally raised all of his grandchildren because his daughter has basically been married multiple times. There are multiple grandkids, and he has, out of his own pocket, raised them. He sat in the office there across from me and in tears said, "I have sat here out of my pocketbook, paid for these grandchildren, brought them to church, and they're all leaving. While their mama takes the welfare check and cashes it in for herself because she could not handle her own kids." And he said, such a simple but profound word, repentance, would fix it all. But I can't get them to see that. Have you ever thought about again how God can clean up our mess? Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we know the text very well. Starting about verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Have you taken time to reflect upon what it means to put on Christ? What that means to be covered with Christ, veiled by His blood? 1 John 1, 5 through 10 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood continually cleanses us from every sin." Having put on Christ, being the child of God, you see, only in Christ can a man be covered, can a man have his life cleaned up. You see, only in Christ, in following peace and holiness, can a man overcome bitterness. Look at this passage, if you will. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Very common passages of Scripture. Philippians 4, about verse 7. "The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." How many people just give up and will not return? You know, another point I want you to think about relative to the story of Ruth is that in the picture of all that ugliness, God could still see on down to the future. Have you stopped to think about how Naomi could have gotten to the point to where she just again gave up, quit, accepted that there would be no more peace in her life. But she didn't. Most people, it seems, do, because again, Hebrews 12:15, most fail. Thereby many fail. Why is it today people who have lived such a life of sin and departure from God are so hardened by that, that they would fail of the grace of God when you can still come back? I don't know how many years Ruth and Naomi lived in peace and in blessings from God, having been redeemed back. I don't know how many years. But I know this, even when it was dark, children dying, your own sons, your husband's dead, you're in a foreign land, surely it was dark and she couldn't see to the, but God could. And he could see through Ruth and one named Boaz, a kind man, that things could be redeemed and he could fix this. How many times have you sat across the table and talked to someone and said, there's just no return? And there is. And what I'm trying to say is that we underestimate the potential of such things like the character of Ruth, the kindness of Boaz. And we don't see into the future like God does. Perhaps you may not be able to reap the reward of the benefit immediately and live a life, a long life of peace and happiness. But who's to say through coming back, repenting of sin, setting the record right, allowing God to restore you, be redeemed from your sins, you might not set the record straight for someone else and start to pave the path that someone can now tread more easily. You see, God can see into the future whereas we can't. And it's only in God then that we can then live in peace. But the book of Ruth is a book of redemption with a little family in a big world with big problems. And through a little family, a Moabitish woman, work his redemption and see to it to this day that now I am the child of Abraham through faith because God made good on his promises. I don't know about you, but I know about me. When I see such a beautiful picture, it makes me kind of think about how wise our God is. Gives me a little hope in this world. Makes me realize that there's no reason to give up. There's still kind and good people out there that we need to work with. And God can work with us. And we can do great good. But have you considered your life and where you are? There's only redemption in Christ. Through Him, man can be redeemed. But just like with Boaz and Ruth, Naomi, there are laws we have to follow. There are perfect laws, good and just laws. They're not for your bad. And what we have to do is through our humility, just like those of old, humble ourselves before God, and He will lift us up. So if a man today, according to the law of Christ, is willing to repent of his sins, confess the name of Christ, be baptized for the remission of his sins because they believe with all their heart that their God will save them, the only true and living God, he can be redeemed. And you can leave this building this morning a new man, a new creature in Christ, complete. Just as the Bible says, Matthew 5:48, be ye complete in Him. You can be complete in God, in Christ this very morning. Redeemed, restored. I don't know what else more you could find or look for in this life than to let God set that all right. So the question is, have you obeyed the gospel, having wandered so far away? Will you consider then the invitation of our Lord as together we stand and we sing?